It's the boss. I call shots
like a boss. In the gloss. My lip
gloss, I only rock clear. On the Sports Map Radio Network. Presented by Progressive Insurance. And by Free All Deep Penetrating Oil. Live from Radio Row in L.A., here's David Gal.
And Carla Dawson. I got that.
You are listening to The Boss, The Gloss, and Bob Golic joining us as The Hoss. We are on Radio Row, all things happening in L.A., the center of the universe this week. And in a minute, we're going to be joined by DeMario Davis, the outstanding linebacker for the Saints, and we can ask him about their big head coaching change. They've got Dennis Allen stepping in. He's a 49-year-old man who's been the defensive coordinator under Sean Payton, so he certainly knows the system. Now, they interviewed just about everybody, including Brian Flores. Many of the candidates were in play. Did this pick surprise you all?
Yes, it did, for me a little bit. Yeah. I mean, I understand they want the continuity that Sean Payton was there for, well, how many, 16 years?
The Saints defense has been pretty good this year.
It's been really good.
Yes. Yeah.
But I think when you're trying to figure out the quarterback position, it's not set by any means in New Orleans.
No, it's not.
You need to bring in more of an offensive-minded guy. And I thought with Brian Flores and the, you know, very courageous and explosive lawsuit, the Saints could have really used that, especially in New Orleans, to make a really great hire.
Yeah, we won't even get into all the other things that are going on in the coaching realm with the Rooney Rule and some of those
things. Yes, we should come back to that.
We will come back to that, I'm sure. But, a lot of times what they'll try to do is hold on to what they had in the past by keeping one of the guys. But I agree. I agree with the gloss that you know, if you are looking for a new quarterback, if you're looking to establish a new running attack or a new offense, you got to have somebody that's, you know, not a defensive guy.
Well, and interestingly, they did bring in Eric Bieniemy, and by all accounts, it was a long, very extensive interview, but it did not pan out, obviously.
That is a head-scratching candidate.
Bieniemy falls short in a search yet again.
I think it was his only interview this season with 9 vacancies? What?
And, of course, in previous, he's always
somebody
been a guy on the short list.
I don't know. Strange.
Somebody knows something.
Right.
Or has pictures.
Right. I hope that's not true.
Yeah, I hope
it
that's
sure
not
seems
true.
Like
yeah,
it
does.
It's very, I mean, goodness gracious.
All right, when we come back, we're going to have DeMario Davis from the Saints. We'll ask him about his new head coach, Dennis Allen. That'll be up next, DeMario Davis, when we return here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is The Boss.
In the Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network. Presented by Progressive Insurance and by Free All Deep Penetrating Oil. Live from Radio Row in L.A., here's David Gal.
And Carla Dawson.
It is David Gal, Carla Dawson, and Bob Golic at Radio Row. And we have joining us here on set now, DeMario Davis. He's the outstanding linebacker for the New Orleans Saints. And an outstanding person off the field. He's the recipient of the Bart Starr Award. He actually won it last year. This year he's coming back to present it. And for those of you who do not know, the Bart Starr Award honors NFL players for their character and leadership in the home, on the field, and in the community. DeMario won it last year. And then this year the award will go to Russell Wilson. So, DeMario, thank you so much for joining us. Tell us, you won it last year, but with COVID, you didn't get to really receive the award in a big ceremony with all the normal fanfare. But congratulations, and what did it feel like to win that award?
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. I think, firstly, let me come closer.
It's voted on by the players, right?
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. It's not about the award, though I'm honored to get the award. It's about what the award means, which is to know that my teammates, my peers around the league, because it's voted on by all players, it's the only award voted on by all players, to have that respect and that I'm shining that light to them and they see it in that way. And so that's really the reward for me in knowing that, because you don't know that. You know, all I do is, you know, I try to lead by example. I try to encourage, I try to uplift. And, you know, I try to be an example and a light in every way that I can, whether that's in the locker room, whether that's in the home, whether that's in the community. And you never know how bright that light is shining. You know, yeah. It's not like you can see how you're reflecting out. All you can do is try. Yeah. And to know that my teammates see me in that way, I was actually shocked when I got the award. I had no clue I had been nominated. I had no clue that I had won. They called me and told me. And I think that was the most humbling and honoring thing, is to know that my teammates see me in that way. And so now to be here and to be able to pass that on because of what it represents, I'm happy for Russell Wilson, and he's a guy that his light shines and transcends the game. And I think that's what is most meaningful. And for me, it was just knowing that, and then now to be able to pass that award on is better than actually, I think, getting an award.
You know, you can tell somebody when you ask a football player, how are you feeling? And they usually go, oh, my shoulders are still kind of messed up, or my back's tweaked or something like that. But I asked you how you were feeling. You said blessed. So your mindset is in a whole different direction. And it, with what you were just saying, I mean, that's, to carry that into a team has got to be so important.
Yeah. I think the way you show up every day is important.
Yeah.
Every day as you get out of bed, you're showing up for somebody. You know, the first person I see when I wake
up. Whether
you're
in season or not.
Yeah,
right?
In season or not. And no matter if you're winning, no matter if you're losing, I've had a team. I've been with the New Orleans Saints, and we won a ton of games. I've been with the Cleveland Browns, where we almost lost all our games. And you still have to show up every single day. And it's that light. Somebody is looking at you, and you're either going to give them energy or you're going to take energy away from them. And so I just try to keep that perspective. And no matter how I'm feeling, I have an attitude of gratitude. I know that God has blessed me to wake up. He's blessed me to have all my limbs. And what I was telling him, the perspective is to make it through a whole season and not be having to have surgery or still be on some type of medicine or having to get some type of follow-up work. You make it through a season healthy in that way, that is a major blessing, because our game is 100% injury. It's guaranteed. They guarantee it to you when you come in as a rookie. That's the first thing they tell you. Injuries are 100%.
Yep.
And so to make it out of the game and to be out of the season and be healthy, that's amazing. And then just to be able to get in as much time with my family. Here I am, you know, at another Super Bowl. I got teammates that I played with who have a chance to win their first Super Bowl. Excited for them. So there's just so many things to – that's what I try to focus on, is the things that I can be appreciative of and grateful for versus, you know, things that you can, that can make you down or whatever.
Well, you know, Jamaro, so you won this great award last year. You're passing the baton, paying it forward to Russell Wilson this year. I look at the two of you and I think, men of God, like, how cool is this? And to get that validation from your peers and your teammates and your fellow players, what did they tell you? What was the feedback you got? You're such a humble guy, because that's who you are. Mm-hmm. But what was the feedback that you heard that really said, wow, that's what set me apart? That's what they thought set me apart? What was it?
I think it was in all the spaces, that they saw it in all the spaces. They were like, it's not just about how you show up on the field. We see that you are an amazing player. It's not just about how you show up in your home. You're like, you're an amazing husband. You're an amazing, amazing father. Like, I mean, first, I only want to hear my wife and my kids say that. But how you show up in the community as well, what you do in community with the youth, what you do in the social justice space. And so, and then your faith transcends all of it. And so I'm a person that just tries to live in the grace of God. And so God just grant me the grace to walk in these spaces humbly before you, but let your light shine. And so it's not like I'm actively trying to do, like, I want to be perceived as this great person. And so the fact that stands out in all those spaces, and I always get this question, where do you find the time to do all this stuff? Like, when do you sleep? And the only thing I can say is, like, the grace of God. It's, I know I'm going like an Energizer bunny, even though I don't feel it, but, you know, somehow in 24 hours, I'm making time to train. I'm making time for my wife and my kids. I'm making time to be active with the community. Like, I rarely miss one of our foundation events, and that's in Mississippi, driving down to be with our kids. I find time to use my platform for social justice change. And when you really think about it, that you sleep. And I'm a person that tries to sleep 9 hours a day. And so realizing that I'm only operating,
you only got 15 hours in a day.
And it's like, yeah, it's just the grace of God. He's making it work. And that's all I can say.
DeMario Davis, he's a linebacker for the Saints, winner of the Bart Starr Award for great character and leadership. You'll be honored, or again, really, this year again, as you give it away.
In person.
With the Super Bowl breakfast hosted by Athletes in Action. I do, before we let you go, I'd love to ask you a football question. Dennis Allen, new head coach of the Saints, you must know him, having played there. Was it a surprise pick to you, a delightful pick to you? What's your take on Dennis Allen as the new head coach?
I think the Saints made the best decision that they could make for where the team is right now. There couldn't have been a better choice. I think when you have the right coach in the building that's head coach ready, he had to step in for us a couple weeks and act as the head coach due
that's
to COVID.
Right, I forgot about that.
He's been a head coach before, so he's had time to learn from his mistakes and know what he did right, know what he could have done better. Phenomenal defensive coordinators. One of, if not the best, I've played for, and I played for great ones. Rex Ryan, Ty Bowles, some great defensive minds. And so and he's just he's right there, if not, you know, higher. Just a phenomenal mind. And I think he's the right person for the job. Anytime you get a head coach that steps away from the game, that's not because of the success of the team. So you know your team is real close. You know, aside from injuries, you know, we had a really good football team this year. And so you don't want to have too much change. So I'm excited. I'm excited for him. I'm excited for the organization, what he brings. He's my head coach all year. Because
I was going to say,
every day I'm with him, you know, from a defensive standpoint. And so I'm excited to see what he brings to the table as a head coach.
Great stuff. DeMario Davis, outstanding linebacker for the Saints. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Thank you guys for having
me.
Blessings.
Thank you.
Great to have you.
You're listening to The Boss
in the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network, presented by Progressive Insurance and by Free All Deep Penetrating Oil. Live from Radio Row in L.A., here's David Gao
and Carla Dawson.
The Boss, the Gloss, and Bob Gullick, the Hoss, with us. And in minutes now, we'll be joined by Trey Wingo, who has joined Caesars Sportsbook, so we can ask him about all the big bets you can make for this big game this coming week. It will be fun to hear from him. I will say, before we get to Trey, coming into this season, I don't think anyone at this table, true confessions here, was picking either the Rams or the Bengals to make it to the big game.
I was excited for Burrow because I get people calling me my show in Ohio from Cincinnati once in a while. And, you know, he just seemed like a nice kid. Actually, my son was at Ohio State. And he was in class with Joe until Joe left.
Yep.
And went to find family. Because he was like the fourth team quarterback with the Buckeyes.
Yeah, he couldn't win the starting job.
Nebraska wouldn't take him. You know, he's from that whole lineage of his brother or uncle, dad, played at Nebraska. And Scott Frost said, no thanks, we've got our guy.
And he seems like...
he's licking his wounds now.
I mean, he just really looks like the nicest... I mean, he seems like the nicest guy. I haven't met him, but, you know, he looks... If I still had a single daughter, he's the kind of guy I'd be looking for.
Oh, what a great endorsement.
So right now...
I'm talking about the money.
Right. Like I said, great endorsement.
She'll be well taken care of.
Yes.
Okay, so between Stafford or Burrow for this one game, whom would you rather have as your starting quarterback?
Man.
Burrow.
You said Matt, and you said Burrow?
No, I'm...
You're splitting here. I'm going to go Burrow.
I'm going to go Matt.
You'll go Stafford. Well, the reason I say Burrow is he just seems so cool to me, so calm and poised all the time. He looks like the next generation Tom Brady to me.
Yeah.
He moves in the pocket like Tom. His arm doesn't blow you away. He doesn't have a rocket like a John Elway arm.
But the offense doesn't need that.
But the offense doesn't need it, and his touch and his accuracy.
Yeah, he's extremely accurate.
He looks like Tom Brady to me.
He's more than a dink and dunk.
So it just strikes me, when Brady won a Super Bowl, before he really should have won a Super Bowl, with that first Super Bowl win over the Rams, I look at Joe Burrow, and I think this might be that first Super Bowl win before he should really win a Super Bowl over the Rams. So that's the parallel I'm drawing. And I've got a stake in the ground for Joe Burrow over Matt Stafford.
Well, gosh, you look at the divisional game against Tennessee. If you looked at the stat line and hadn't seen the game and saw that Joe Burrow was sacked 9 times, you know they didn't win the game. So to me, I say, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
That guy got sacked 9 times and was still able to pull that out against Tennessee. I think it could happen because he's more, everyone loves to talk about his toughness and his moxie, which he has. But he also, I love all the things you brought up. He's a smart football mind. He's accurate. He can dink and dunk as well as.
But the Rams' defense is going to be challenging. With 9 sacks last week, and plus he runs all the time and he doesn't slide. I mean, he hasn't learned. I mean, it's like he tries to run people over. I mean, if he doesn't, he's got to learn that quarterbacks can get hurt. And so he's taken all the chances, and I think he feels like he wants to be the guy to win the game. He feels like he is the guy because it's worked out that way for him. So when he runs the ball, he goes for it. He doesn't just say, hey, let me slide in a little bit. I mean, he just goes for it. But Matt, I just think Matt feels confident now. I don't think he has, a lot of the things that Joe has, but I think he feels confident with the people around him. And it just seems like as long as they're all healthy in there, I think he feels good.
We've gone from winning no playoff games to 3 in a row, so he's on a roll right now.
All right, joining us here on set is Trey Wingo. Trey, great to have you.
Hey, great to be here with you guys. How are you?
Good-looking Wingo.
Well, it was. He sure was.
No, it is now.
No, it is.
You didn't even look up, did you?
Good to see you.
Like this 2.0 version.
There you go. Well, he's much better looking than his brother.
Oh,
I can tell you
that much. About that.
Yeah. And speaking of looking, we've got the twins here. I wish this was a visual instead of an audio. You two are...
I would agree with that, although he's got a better shirt on.
Separated at birth. Yours pretty good.
I've always thought Trey Wingo was a really good-looking guy.
Yeah.
So,
here's that $20 I owe you. Yeah. Thank you.
No, 4 years ago, it was Indianapolis.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, at that moment, our looks perfectly aligned. And everywhere I went in Indianapolis, I thought I was Trey Wingo, which gave me 2 opportunities. First of all, there were women throwing themselves at me the whole time. It was outrageous.
He's still talking about it.
I was about to say, I'm glad that worked for you. That worked for me ever. So,
Well, it's been downhill ever since.
There you go.
But the other funny thing was, walking Radio Row, as we are here, and booth to booth to booth, people would stop me and say, hey, Trey, will you do a hit on our show?
Yeah.
And I always turned it down and said, no, you're mistaken. I'm not Trey.
It happened this morning. So a guy went by and was like,
I really wish I had said, sure, join, and said some outrageous things.
I'm glad you didn't.
Under the guise of Trey Wingo.
I appreciate it. Well, it's funny. I get Kenny a lot. Like, for some reason, people think Kenny and I look identical. I guess it's because we're the only guys that had gray hair for a long time at ESPN.
Blonde hair.
Platinum blonde.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll go with blonde.
I'll take whatever you want to throw my way. I'm just glad I have it. So I'm happy to have remnants of a great once hair nation still hanging on up there.
So you and Kenny are both with Caesar Sports.
Absolutely.
Tell us what's going on there.
You're the chief trends officer.
Isn't that the greatest title in the world?
It's the best, and I don't want you to critique my outfit.
I have no idea what it means either. I'm just the chief trends officer and brand ambassador.
It's all about what you write on your business card.
That's exactly right. So we, Kenny and I have been working there for a while now. And but the fun part about me with the folks at Caesars, a lot of former ESPN people work there now. So it's basically a lot of faces that I'm very familiar with. I'm doing the same stuff I did on Golic and Wingo or NFL Live or the draft, just at a different place.
Yeah.
And, we did this Trace Trends thing every week, which was really fun. And we put that out based on the odds. And they never asked me to be the odds guy. They're like, we have people for that. Tell me why the odds are the way they are. And so that's what I did on NFL Live for all these years in the draft. And so that's been really, really fun. And we got some great stuff coming out this week. We have over 2,000 ways you can bet on the game, all kinds of crazy prop bets. My dad was a reporter for Life magazine who covered Super Bowl I here in Los Angeles, and he lives in Palm Springs, so we got him out here, and we went and did a tour of the city and talked about how much the game has changed from Super Bowl I to now. Mm-hmm. I mean, Super Bowl I, it wasn't even called the Super Bowl. It was the AFL-NFL World Championship game.
Yeah, that was 1965.
Game. 67.
67. Okay.
And it was at the Coliseum. They had over 30,000 unsold seats. Like, nobody cared about the game. And two networks covered it because they wanted somebody to watch it. Not many people watched it.
Amazing.
Well, right now, the only thing you can get 100 million Americans to agree on is to watch the damn Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
up to 7 million a minute?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Something
it's
like
absolutely,
that for
absolutely
yeah.
crazy.
And tickets are reasonable. I just saw $9,000 average for seats. So there we go.
But it's
bringing
60,
in middle America.
Yeah.
Cheer them on.
Reasonable has a really different term now. So, yeah.
60,000 on the field, down by the field.
Sure.
6 to 10 up on top.
Jeez. Carla bought a 4-pack.
Oh my gosh!
No, Carla had the 4-pack.
Hey, Nightball. Well,
yeah.
Well done.
Yay!
Well done. Standing O.
Well, I mean, you know, talking about this, the game's changed very quickly. From back in the day, they used to say, you know, you can't even talk about gambling. You can't do this. You can't do that. In fact, the only reason we would look at the, you know, at the numbers for the game, you know, are we favored or are we underdogs? We just kind of wanted to know where we stood. But everything else was don't even get involved, go to casinos, no nothing. And it has changed so quickly that even now states, I mean, Ohio, where I'm at, is actually starting to talk about doing sport book and things like that. So it's changed dramatically.
I just don't understand why any state doesn't do it. You want to create revenue? I mean, look at, you know, Caesars was part of the New York state launch, and they've already surpassed all the records of New Jersey in the first month of the freaking thing it was open. And for me, and I'm glad you said that, Bob, because – you know, we always use sort of wink, wink, nudge, nudge. You know, well, the line is 6.5. And well, why do you think we have injury reports every week for all these years? It's to set the line. And by the way, that's a good thing, because if you didn't have the injury reports and you didn't set the line, there could be insider information. This guy's hurt. He's not going to play. And then suddenly you have all kinds of insider trading, for lack of a better term.
It's the longest yard.
Exactly.
Comes to life.
Exactly. This way it's just out in the open.
Yeah.
Like when I did NFL Live for years, I could not say over under. We had to do more than or less than, you know?
No.
We couldn't use betting terms. And we couldn't say the team names. We'd have to say the New York team or, you know, Philadelphia or Atlanta. You couldn't say Falcons. You couldn't say Eagles. Hell, in 2014, you couldn't have Tony Romo do a fantasy football show at a hotel in Vegas.
Well, that's right. It got shut down.
And now
we
have the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, by the way, money is good. Money is good.
You know? This is Trey Wingo joining us, and we're talking about Caesars Sportsbook. He's now the chief trends officer. Now, there are some fun prop bets that you guys are setting for this big game. What stands out to you?
Well, there's a couple of them. First of all, we haven't had a safety in a Super Bowl since Super Bowl 48. That was the first play from scrimmage. The ball snapped over Peyton's head. Seahawks won that game 43-8. This is the longest stretch we've never had a safety in a Super Bowl. So you can get plus 800 odds. On there's going to be a safety. She's writing it down.
I am. I've got the man, the
legend
right
one.
Here. I've got that one.
The other one, which is really good, we only had two defensive players score touchdowns. It's happened three times. The first one, this was like the thing that started the prop bet craze was when Fridge scored a touchdown in the third quarter,
exactly.
Super Bowl 20, and that was Caesars Palace put that out as the first like prop bet. So now I think it's. We have really good odds on whether or not a defensive player will score a touchdown. And defensive players have gotten so athletic, you know, over the years.
Oh, they're all since when?
Yeah. Bob Golden's level.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
If you're the gold standard, Bob, you started
exactly.
It.
So, you know, you have really good odds on the idea of a defensive player scoring a touchdown. The other only defensive player to do it, Mike Vrabel, who scored twice, a linebacker for the Patriots, caught a touchdown pass in Super Bowl 38 and Super Bowl 39. By the way, my favorite stat of all time in the history of the NFL is Mike Vrabel as a linebacker. These are his career receptions. 12 catches, 12 attempts, 12 catches for 12 touchdowns.
Well,
as a linebacker. As a linebacker.
Wow. Lucky 12.
That's a big-time game. Trey Wingo, thank you so much for joining us. Really great to have you.
Yeah.
And congrats on all you're doing with Caesars Sportsbook.
Good to be back with Golic and Wingo, and you're a good-looking man.
This is The Boss.
And The Gloss.
On the SportsMap Radio Network. Presented by Progressive Insurance and by Freeall Deep Penetrating Oil. Live from Radio Row in L.A., here's David Gal
and Carla Dawson.
February is National Pesticide Safety Education Month. Some pesticides used around the home may harm pollinators. Always read the label and don't apply any pesticide when bees and other pollinators are active in the area. Find out more at PetSafetyMonth.com. Okay, one of the big stories in this offseason has been the Brian Flores lawsuit against the NFL. And there are several issues here. The
and
tanking
three
question.
Teams.
Yes, and there are several questions. I mean, the tanking is one topic, but I want to get to first the diversity of head coaches in the NFL. Brian Flores certainly suggests that it is a closed system, that there's a good old boy network, that a black coach had not been given the same opportunity. And here you are, Bob. You've been around the league, in the league, played in the league for so long. What is your response to the charges that came from Brian Flores?
Well, first off, I did play the Raiders under Art Schell when he took over from Mike Shanahan.
Yep, yep.
So I was the first African-American,
and the coolest thing he ever said about me was, you know, Bob would have fit in with us back in the 70s. And I was like, dude, all right. Me and Stabler hanging out, sneaking out after curfew, drinking some beers for breakfast. Yeah. But, you know, the Rooney Rule is a, I mean, it's a lot, like you were saying, there's a lot of angles to this.
Yes, there is.
I mean, the Rooney Rule is a little bit troublesome to me because, for instance, when Matt Millen was the president of the Lions, he had played in San Francisco, was friends with Steve Mariucci. As soon as they dropped Wayne in Detroit, he said, I'm bringing in Mariucci. He's going to be my coach. But the Rooney Rule said you have to interview an African-American.
Right.
And so, you know, they had to bring and I'm thinking to myself, would you tell that person that they're wasting their time or you're bringing them in on because they have to?
Right.
When he already knows who he wants to sign. I mean, it seems like you're just cheating people out of opportunities.
Right.
And then you get into the argument about, and we were just mentioning off the air, you know, equity. You know, you've got 70% African-Americans players. Should you have 70% black head coaches or coaches overall? I don't.
Or maybe just more than two.
Or just more than two. I guess I'm old school. I think as a player, it doesn't matter what color the coach is. I mean, he's your coach, and you respect him, and you do what he says, and you run the plays. And it's not about, you know, it's not about this, about making sure. And who wants to bring in somebody just because of the color? I mean, that goes against, Martin Luther King and everybody. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But, you know, we live in a day and age today of equity instead of equality, which you have a lot of people who are screaming loudly. And they're in every aspect of our life.
So it's true.
A tough time.
And, you know, you played for Al Davis and the Raiders, and mm-hmm. Art Schell was the first black coach in the NFL. And for all the visceral reactions that Al Davis's name can evoke, he was all about minorities. I mean, you know, he had the first woman CEO in the NFL in Amy Trask. And he gave, you know, Art Schell. We just talked about first African-American coach, Tom Flores, first Hispanic coach. I mean, Al Davis, if he was around today, I've got to believe he would be a brave owner that would take a stand. Because you look at the 32 owners, 30 of them are white. And, you know, you think about 30 years ago, they didn't want black quarterbacks in the league. No way. Oh, my gosh, that was unheard of. You would not have a black quarterback. So there has been some progress. But I feel like as society is making great progress, but I feel like the NFL is regressing. And you take a look over at the next association over, the NBA. Last year, eight head coaching vacancies in the NBA, seven of them filled by African American candidates.
Okay.
So
does that make it right or does that make it wrong or does that just make it what it is?
I think it makes it what it is.
I mean, if you have mostly white coaches in the NFL, but mostly black coaches filling the new spot in the NBA, is it just that there are more coaches? In the NFL, you've got a lot of assistants who you move up from lower spots,
coordinators
and stuff. And that happens both white, black, you know, whatever. And I don't know. I don't like the idea of forcing things. I understand, you know, maybe like you said, maybe the NFL is behind it a bit, but it's going to catch up. And reality is, I mean, we've got a crap load of people who have jobs, both as players and as coaches and all this. So, and I know Art Shell did a great job as a head coach. I loved playing under that guy.
So did Tom Flores.
Yeah, and so did Tom Flores. So I'm all for equity and equality, but I don't think
earned.
It has to be forced. It has to be earned, I think, is what it is. You can't just force somebody into a spot.
Well, it does strike me the Rooney Rule didn't really work out as it intended.
Right.
And it did create just some obligatory conversations when the decision was already made.
Yeah.
And nobody
like maybe
wants.
Maybe just happened to Brian Flores.
Yes, nobody wants to be part of that. In fact, it would have to be frustrating to Brian Flores.
Yeah.
Oh, this is just a charade. And that's offensive. I'm just being used as a token display.
Yeah.
And that doesn't make anybody feel any good.
And when it comes across on social media with this incorrect text, you know, texting the wrong guy, all of a sudden you look like not just the guy, but you look like a guy who just got dissed big time. And, you know, you've got to respond.
Yep.
Yeah, you've got to respond. And I think what Brian Flores is doing, this lawsuit is very explosive because he's going after the NFL as a whole, as well as the three teams, which is, who was it, Denver, the Giants, and who was the third team? I can't remember.
Well, Hugh Jackson is basically making the same accusations on the Browns.
He is. He really is. But I hope what happens out of this, I hope there is a positive difference in the NFL for hiring and retaining minority candidates. That would be great.
Mm.
Like a positive difference. You know, and I don't know if that is getting them in positions of power. I think there's very few GMs that are minorities. You know, I don't know what it takes, but there are great people, and I agree. Nothing should be handed out or forced on, but I think there's a lot of good talent that can play. Eric Bieniemy.
Well, therein lies the tension is the Rooney Rule really didn't work. What policy can you set to change the process?
Yeah.
Very hard to say, we're going to put in place this particular rule. That's right. There are some people, and I've heard them make this case. Here's Brian Flores. What he's done now is he filed a lawsuit, and he's now eliminated himself from head coaching consideration. He might have been the best black coaching candidate this cycle.
He really, frankly, one of the best coaching candidates this cycle, period, regardless.
So there he is, and it may well have been that the best path to help the cause was to take a head coaching job. He might well have gotten one. It might have even been the Texans.
Right.
He might have well have gotten one, and if he'd excelled, that might have been more groundbreaking, paved more road to be to be the next Mike Tomlin in this league, might have really set the different standard, rather than filing a lawsuit that's going to force policy or rules that are really hard to affect.
Yeah. I find it hard in this day and age to think that there's anybody saying, oh, my God, just don't hire the black coach. I mean, I can't see that being a thing. I mean, I
hope it's not.
Yeah. Well,
I really don't. My sympathies are with you that, yes, that's the case. But I think there's an implicit act. There's a logic. I'm going to hire the guy I'm comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
It's what you just described and bring Mariucci over to Detroit. I know this guy, worked for this guy.
Right.
And so it's hard to break into that good old boy club,
right.
That network
right.
of relationships.
And the good old boy term makes it sound like it's a bad thing. But, I mean, good old boy can be anybody. I mean, it's just that if you're the guy. And certainly it started off as white coaches. But, I mean, good old boy is your buddy. You know, guys that you know. And you're not going to bring somebody in. If you're running a team or own a team, you're not going to bring somebody in that is less than a good coach, because of anything.
Unless you're the Houston Texans. Have you seen their last couple hires?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's actually a great point, because let's shift gears for a minute. It's interesting. The one team that this off cycle did hire an African-American coach is the Houston Texans. They've got Lovie Smith. And by
because
all
they
accounts,
bungled,
it was a poor choice.
Yes. And it's nothing against Lovie Smith, because I think he is a fabulous man. His overall coaching record in the NFL is 47-49. It's not that impressive. But he is a great human. But that whole situation, the reason Lovie Smith is the coach is because the Texans had to do a swift pivot. They were one of the first coaching vacancies, and they are basically the last hire, which is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, fans lose their mind when you start watching all these good coaching.
For the second year in a row, this has happened.
Yeah.
And
Eric Bieniemy was a fan favorite for the last 2 years in a row, and here we sit again.
He didn't even get an interview this year with the Texans. But what happened was that the Texans had all intentions of hiring Josh McCown, which is, he's a great guy, but he's been a volunteer high school coach, and that's it. And you cannot pass up any candidate, I don't care what color, what size you are, a head coaching candidate who has never coached in the National Football League, let alone at a coordinator or coaching level. And then when the Brian Flores lawsuit hit, they went, uh-oh, got to pivot. We need a minority. Yeah. And they said, let's bring Lovie in. What they have forgotten is that this is 2.0 for the Texans. Romeo Crennel was also the defensive coordinator for the Texans, an African-American, and the associate head coach. He steps up when Bill O'Brien gets fired, and it's a disaster. And Romeo's a great guy, but it didn't go well. They're doing the exact same thing with Lovie Smith. He's the DC, the associate head coach. Oops, we bungled yet another coaching surge. But let's put him in there because everyone likes him, and then we'll worry about it later. They're doing it again.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, I don't think any change is going to be affected in the NFL when the owners are making the money that they're making. It's all about the bottom dollar. And they are making more money than any of the associations. And I just don't think there's going to be a change because the owners run it. And they don't see a need to change it. Why would you when you're making that money?
Well, then let's change over to talk about my pension.
Okay, let's do it, Bob.
This is Bob Golic joining us. He had, how many years?
14 years
in
14,
the NFL?
Yeah.
So how many years do you have to play to get a pension?
15.
No.
Oh, God.
You become vested.
Nervous.
No, you become vested at about four years.
Yes.
I think it is, and then they start counting after that, and it's pretty good. I mean, the last collective bargaining agreement, they actually bumped us up a little bit.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so we can go and, we can go get fast food a couple times a week now.
Woo!
You know, when it started, people kept going, man, your pension must be crazy, because you hear baseball.
Sure.
And these guys are talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars. And, you know, I look at mine going,
they can't even get on the field.
Yeah.
Much about it.
And I'm looking at ours going, you know, we're still in low five figures. So, you know, and again, it's more of a joke than it is serious because, but it's serious because there's a lot of guys that do need it. I mean, they've got it. They, you know, they're like, hey, I'm done. This didn't work out. That didn't work out. At least I have my NFL pension. And it's been low. They raise it a bit, but we're kind of hoping for maybe some of that TV money will trickle down into the Bob Fund. I mean, the pension. Yeah, that's it.
All right. Well, help the Bob Fund. Hey, we're going to take a quick break, and we will come right back. We're going to look at some of the exciting prop bets that we can make this week on the big game. We'll wrap that up when we return here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to The Boss
and The Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network. Presented by Progressive Insurance and by Freeall Deep Penetrating Oil. Live from Radio Row in L.A., here's David Gal
and Carla Dawson.
Carla, stop chair dancing. She's chair dancing over there.
I really can't.
You have no idea.
Bob, you nailed me, and I can't even, I can't stop moving.
Chair dancing, when we're back in studio in Houston, she's up with her arms in the air, flailing around the room, yes.
It's true.
Almost dancing on tables, but that doesn't matter.
There's got to be a video on social media somewhere, right?
I'll get it out there.
Okay, thank you.
Listen, we've covered a lot of ground, First of all, in this show, we have reunited Golic and Wingo with Bob Golic and Trey Wingo.
Best ever, 2.0.
2.0.
Right here in La La Land.
But that was even a shorter relationship than my brother Wingo had.
And then we got to Aaron Rodgers, and I guess his love life has not worked out very well.
No, I guess it's a little jealousy. Not good.
So he's
Shaley
broken up
like that
with his girl, and now we heard it first.
No, girl's broken up with him.
Okay, girl broken up with him.
Not jealous.
Stick up for women power.
He's too jealous.
But we heard it from Bob Golic. It's going to be right. Aaron Rodgers to the Browns.
To the Browns.
Why not? They're poised to win. They've got a lot of talent.
And what happens? You know what happens if he doesn't go to the Browns? Nothing. I don't lose any money. I didn't bet on it.
Yeah.
I had read that article saying that she had made comments about going to the, being on the Lake Erie, as some people used to call it, the mistake on the lake.
Right.
I like a bold take, Bob. I'm all about it.
All right, listen, we've got less than a minute. Is there a prop bet you're excited about? We heard from Kenny Mayne. We heard from Trey Wingo. Is there a prop bet you want to make?
I like safety in the Super Bowl.
You like safety?
In the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Plus eight.
Point above my blood pressure. under.
I'm going with the fridge bet. A prop on whether a roster defensive player will score an offensive touchdown, as the fridge did.
All right. I love it.
Bob Golic, great to have you. Carla Dawson, awesome to be with you.
We're back tomorrow.
You've been listening to The Boss, The Gloss, and The Hoss on the Sports Map Radio Network.